ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Questions by King Parikshit, Text 6. Dhautatma Purusha Krishna Paramulam Namunchati Mukta Sava Pariklesha Kanta Sva Sharanam Yatha. Dauta Atma, whose heart has been cleansed. Purusha, the living being. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mulam, sorry, Paramulam, the shelter of the lotus feet. Na, never. Munchati, gives up. Mukta, liberated. Sarva, all. Pariklesha, of all miseries of life. Pantaha, the traveler. Svasharanam, in his own abode. Yata, as it were. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. A pure devotee of the Lord, whose heart has once been cleansed by the process of devotional service, never relinquishes the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, for they fully satisfy him, as a traveler is satisfied at home after a traveled journey. Word for word translation. A pure devotee of the Lord, whose heart has once been cleansed by the process of devotional service, never relinquishes the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. For they fully satisfy him, as a traveler is satisfied at home after a troubled journey. Purport. One who is not a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord Krishna is not completely cleansed in the heart, but a perfectly cleansed person never quits the devotional service of the Lord. In discharging such devotional service as ordered by Brahmaji Trinarda in the preaching of Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes a representative of the Lord engaged in preaching work meets various so-called difficulties. This was exhibited by Lord Nityananda when he delivered the two fallen souls Jagai and Madhai, and similarly Lord Jesus Christ was crucified by the non-believers. But such difficulties are very gladly suffered by the devotees in preaching, because in such activities, although apparently very severe, the devotees of the Lord feel transcendental pleasure because the Lord is satisfied. Prahlad Maharaj suffered greatly, but still he never forgot the lotus feet of the Lord. This is because a pure devotee of the Lord is so purified in his heart that he cannot leave the shelter of Lord Krishna in any circumstances. There is no self-interest in such service. The progress of cultivating knowledge by the gyanis or the bodily gymnastics by the yogis are ultimately given up by the respective performers, but a devotee of the Lord cannot give up the service of the Lord, for he is ordered by his spiritual master. Pure devotees like Narada and Nityananda Prabhu take up the order of the spiritual master as the sustenance of life. They do not mind what becomes of the future of their lives. They take the matter very seriously, as the order comes from the higher authority, from the representative of the Lord, or from the Lord himself. The example set herein is very appropriate. A traveler leaves home to search for wealth in far distant places, sometimes in the forest and sometimes on the ocean and sometimes on hilltops. Certainly there are many troubles for the traveler when he is in such unknown places, but all such troubles are at once mitigated as soon as the sense of his family affection is remembered, and as soon as he returns home, he forgets all such troubles on the way. A pure devotee of the Lord is exactly in a family tie with the Lord, and therefore he is undeterred in discharging his duty in a full affectionate tie with the Lord. Okay, so the title of the chapter is Questions by King Parikshit. In the past two verses, we've been hearing Atul Krishna Prabhu really elaborating on these powerful verses that explain the great fortune of having the sound incarnation of Krishna in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, and how that has the potency to make our hearts pure. So I'll just read the verses again. Shinvata shalayanityam granantas chasvachestitam kalena natidikrena bhagavan vishate hridi. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Goddess Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time. Pravista kana randrena svanam bhava saroruham tunoti shamalam Krishna salilasya yata sharat. The sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association, such as lust, anger, and hankering. Thus, it acts like autumnal rains upon pools of muddy waters. So, this is the great potency of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, that Srimad Bhagavatam is the sound incarnation of Krishna. Therefore, the more we take in Srimad Bhagavatam, the less these lower traits that have been mentioned, like lust, anger, avarice, etc., they cannot stand where Krishna resides. Just as we know the verse from the CC, Krishna Surya Sam Maya Haya Andhakar, that when Krishna is residing in a particular place, he dispels all darkness or all ignorance. Part of this ignorance, of course, is the contamination of the three modes of material nature. So where Krishna is residing, there cannot be any place actually for any type of contamination. Hence, Srimad Bhagavatam is glorified to have that potency to really remove the contaminations of material existence. Therefore, the sages are, and of course, Sukadev Goswami is stressing the importance of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam very attentively and regularly, and taking the matters very seriously. Not that we just mechanically just sit through, although you can get benefit from just mechanically sitting and hearing, but actually we're meant to take these topics, these subject matters, very seriously and apply them in our lives. So this is a very important point that's been stressed not only in the past two verses, but also this verse from today. We've been hearing how the powerful, pure devotee of the Lord doesn't only have the ability to deliver himself, but also to deliver the entire world, to deliver others, because they're always thinking about the welfare of others. One's heart has become purified and one is reinstated in their constitutional position with Krishna. It is natural that living entity becomes free from any type of material contamination and therefore always think about the well-being of others. And this is showed most profoundly by giving Krishna to others and expecting nothing in return, performing selfless service by spreading the glories of Krishna. So the sincere efforts to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and to serve the Srimad Bhagavatam by our humble service attitude brings about our qualification to get purified, and the qualification for Krishna to endow within us spiritual qualities, the Vaishnav qualities that naturally manifest as we practice devotional service. And a very important point that is stressed as well in the last purport, Srila Prabhupada makes the fact and emphasizes that devotional service is the only method of cleansing the heart for good. He stresses that other processes might temporarily do something, they might relieve some confusion, but as Prabhupada mentions, the body gymnastics of the yogis or cultivating the culture of knowledge by the jnanis at some point is given up because there's no organic or there's no real connection with the source of our existence. Therefore, we give up these processes because of some subtle contamination. But when one takes to the process of bhakti, this devotional service destroys the inclinations or the desire for sinful activity, which is what stops our progress in bhakti. So the devotional service to the Lord with specific attention to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly is the recommended method for liberation from the clutches of illusion. So we all want to have a completely cleansed heart, not a half-cleansed or a quarterly cleansed heart. But a fully cleansed heart is a heart that will allow the Supreme Personality of Godhead to reside, that will allow all auspiciousness to actually reside in our hearts, and that due to that auspiciousness, we're able to understand our relationship with Krishna, and we're able to understand our relationship with other living entities and how we can also encourage them to move towards Krishna. So that in this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how the pure devotee of the Lord, who has become cleansed purely at heart, can never give up the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, even when they are put through difficulties, severe difficulties, that they see these difficulties as transcendental pleasure, because they're understanding that they are always at the lotus feet of the Lord, and the Lord will always take care of them. So Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Nityananda Prabhu. He gives the example of Jesus Christ, and he mentions Prahlad Maharaj as well. So it is very important to note that with these examples are quite different in terms of personalities, but the principles are the same. So with Nityananda Prabhu, of course, who is none different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, himself appeared before Lord Caitanya's descent. And for 20 years, Lord Nityananda himself didn't preach the cult of Harinam Sankirtan until he got the order from Lord Caitanya after their meeting. And he was instructed to go and spread the glories of the holy name in Bengal and neighboring places. And hence he came across the persons Jagga and Madhai, who fortunately or unfortunately struck Lord Nityananda with an earthen pot producing blood. And of course, Lord Nityananda's response to the Lord, who was angered, who was in transcendental anger because his devotee had been wrongly accused, Lord Nityananda stopped the Lord and petitioned him that if he punishes these miscreants or if he kills them, then he'll have to kill everyone in Kali Yuga because everyone is as low as Jagga and Madhai. We're without good qualities. We're always disturbed. So Lord Nityananda didn't take this situation or this circumstance personally as a personal insult, but he gladly accepted the situation, and it was this situation that further glorified Lord Caitanya. He was always situated at the Lord's lotus feet and understanding that the Lord will always give him protection. Therefore, there was nothing to fear in the heart of Lord Nityananda. Similar instance happened with Haridas Thakur when he was beaten in the marketplaces. He blamed, not that he blamed himself, but he took it in his heart that I must have committed some mild offense, or I must have heard some criticism to the Lord. This is why I'm getting this reaction. Therefore, whilst he was being beaten by these different persons, and because nothing was happening to Haridas Thakur, these persons who had been hired by the demonic ruler were in anxiety that if Haridas Thakur does not die in these marketplaces, they themselves are going to get punished. So they were in anxiety for their life. So Haridas Thakur bargained with them and explained, okay, if you throw me in the Ganga, just say that I have lost my life. So he was thinking about their well-being, that they do not get implicated. And he didn't mind getting the beatings on his back. And all the while this was going on, he was meditating on Lord Caitanya. Therefore, he never felt the whips on his back. Prahlad Maharaj is a very special case because Prahlad Maharaj was only 5 years old. You could say the adults are adults, therefore they might be a bit tougher. They might have gone through different things to make them strong, but Prahlad Maharaj was only a 5-year-old boy who appeared in the family of the great Sri Hiranyakashipu, as he's addressed in the pages of Bhagavatam. And he was not only once or twice or thrice tried to be struck or killed, but many times by his own father, tried to be poisoned, thrown into a pit with snakes, being put under the feet of a raging mad elephant, thrown from a cliff, and this is a 5-year-old boy. So Prahlad Maharaj, as soon as the Lord, when he was offering prayers to the Lord, he wasn't really concerned about himself, his liberation. Of course, the Lord blessed him so that he was able to offer wonderful prayers by touching a conch to his head. But Prahlad Maharaj was always thinking about the others, how they will get liberated, how people in this Kali Yuga chasing or attached to materialistic family life, thinking that they will find happiness and pleasure in this world, how are they going to be saved? That was his meditation. How is his father going to be delivered? This is what Prahlad Maharaj was thinking. Although so many atrocious things were happening in his life by his own father. And there's also a very wonderful prayer that Prahlad Maharaj offers in the chapter where in the fifth canto where the residents of Jambudvip are offering prayers. So there's a whole glorification of the previous chapters about the Ganges River, about the Jambudvip, the different islands, the different deities that are worshipped, etc. So this prayer by Prahlad Maharaj, we could say it summarizes the mentality and the mood of a pure devotee. Having thus been cleansed by the process of bhakti, what their mood is and how they think and how do they act. So I'll just read the verse so that we can understand the context of it. Swastiyastu vishvasya kala prasiratam jayantu bhutani siva mitodiya manascha bhadram bhajatar adokshare avesyatam no mati api ahaituki. So Prahlad Maharaj says, may there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. So Prahlad Maharaj is stressing that this devotional service has the potency of creating a sense of equilibrium, a sense of being calm, a sense of thinking about the welfare of others. This is what the process of devotional service does. And by thinking of others' welfare, it is not possible to be envious or proud or malicious. These qualities cannot reside there. Because we've been completely purified by this process of bhakti, therefore, it is natural that we start thinking about the welfare of other living entities. And it is by this attitude that we actually get the attention of Krishna. This type of mentality maintains the devotional aptitude of a devotee. So Prahlad Maharaj is stating here a very important point that, you know, sometimes we often get asked, how is it that by becoming a devotee we are helping the world? How is you chanting Hare Krishna or practicing bhakti yoga, one actually helps others? So in this verse I was thinking about yesterday, how people in this world are so lonely, misguided, as it is said in the beginning of Bhagavatam, manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagya hi upadritaha. There's so many negative qualities in Kali Yuga. Practically, it's an ocean of faults. And there's so much distrust
there's so much fear. Material existence means fear, because it is danger at every step. It is a fearful situation. So with this type of lifestyle, with this type of environment, people become very fearful, very anxious. But when they see a devotee, when they see the actions of a devotee, how a devotee is calm, peaceful, how a devotee has a controlled mind and senses, they become attracted to such persons. They want to take shelter of such persons so that such persons can help them in the troubles of their lives. It is a psychological fact that one gravitates towards those that he sees have some kind of peace around them, some kind of serenity. That's why people always get attracted to certain places, large bodies of water, nature, beautiful sounds, beautiful smells. Naturally, the living entity will become attracted to such qualities. And we know the Vaishnava qualities are extremely attractive. Therefore, just by becoming a devotee, by practicing the process of bhakti yoga, we develop so many wonderful qualities, divine qualities, that are almost very rare in this world. And they're very attractive. Persons like Mohandas Gandhi, persons like Mother Teresa, just on a humanitarian level, people were very attracted to them because they were exhibiting some selfless quality, some compassionate nature. They caught the attention. Even on a mundane level, people like Bono, people like, Bill Gates or whoever, people who give, who are very generous, become very attractive. But what to speak of a materialistic person, what to speak of a devotee who has divine qualities, they become very attractive. And people will naturally gravitate towards their shelter because of these wonderful qualities that have been given by Krishna. So this process of bhakti yoga purifies the heart for good, and all these Vaishnava qualities, all the qualities of a higher nature, become manifest in the person of the devotee. And in this way, we can do good for humanity, guiding humanity, teaching them about the principles of a civilized human life, a life meant for inquiring into what is Brahman, what is spirit, and what is my connection with the Parabrahman. So the example of Prahlad Maharaj, it is very sufficient. This verse that he speaks, Prabhupada opens the purport by quoting that a verse that describes a Vaishnav. Vancha kalpa trubhishchakti pasindubhyevacha patitanam pavnibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse to the purport of Prahlad Maharaj's statement that a devotee is very forbearing. A devotee is tolerant. Even if they are cheated, even if they have been wronged, even if they have been killed, a devotee never wants to avenge. A devotee never wants to take revenge. But by their magnanimous qualities that they have attained by the purified process of devotional service, they are always taking shelter of Krishna under any circumstance. You know, we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and the perfect example, of course, is once again of Maharaj Parikshit. And this statement is made by Shamika Rishi. Shamika Rishi is the father of Sringi. So right after Sringi had cursed Maharaj Parikshit, of course his father knew about it. The Brahmins back then, they still had some Brahma Tejas. They still had potency. So he could understand what his son had done. And Maharaj Shamika Rishi was meditating and thinking how to counteract this offense that my son has performed towards Maharaj Parikshit, who is a very powerful, who is a Rajarishi, a very powerful saint and king. And he was thinking, maybe Maharaj Parikshit will counter-curse. But then he realized that this is not the nature of a devotee.
He says in this verse, Tirakskrita vripalabdha shaptakshipahata api nasya tad pati kurvanti tad bhakta prabhavo pihi.
The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even though they have defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves.
So this is Shamika Rishi speaking. Prabhupada mentions that he knew that the Lord does not forgive a person who has committed an offense at the feet of the Lord. The Lord can only give direction to take shelter of a devotee.
So this is the glorious position of devotees who've actually become purified at heart, that although Maharaj Parikshit externally seemed like he had committed an offense by garlanding a great sage with a dead snake, the sage himself understood the context he was doing that with. In the previous verses, he's explaining the roles of a king, how he's concerned about so many state affairs, how they travel long distances and might become lethargic, they might become thirsty. So it is very important that they pay attention to this as citizens and give him a nice welcoming. So he was understanding the position of Maharaj Parikshit. Therefore, he would not take offense. So the way Maharaj Parikshit responded to the curse was a very glad, in a very pure devotee type of way, without thinking I have to revenge, I have to take revenge, or I have to counter curse. This is not the mood of a devotee. A devotee, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport for today's verse, is very forbearing. Hence Srila Prabhupada mentions these bold examples, Lord Nityananda, Jesus Christ, Prahlad Maharaj, and there's so many from the Bhagavatam that these examples have been given so that as we take shelter of the sound incarnation of Krishna, we understand how Krishna deals with his devotees, especially when they're being put in these situations, that the devotee always remembers the Supreme Lord, always remembers that Krishna is my shelter. Last week we were speaking about the six divisions of surrender, and the third and fourth one being having the conviction that Krishna will give one protection and accepting the Lord as one's guardian. This is a firm conviction that the pure devotee has, that the Lord is my master and I'm firmly convinced he will always give me shelter and protection under any circumstance. And of course, these devotees, the Lord glorifies them in so many different ways by trying to offer them benedictions, by trying to ask of his devotees, what do you want from me? What can I give you? And the mood and the standard of these devotees is that they do not want anything at all but to serve Krishna. Life after life, they want the opportunities to serve Krishna. They do not ask for any type of benediction, but the Lord himself decides to give anyway. Similarly, in the Sishi, the pastime of Kolavecha Sridhar, who had pleased the Lord so much, and the Lord was willing to offer any benediction, any type of opulence, but Kolavecha Sridhar commented that he doesn't want anything else but his pure devotional service. So this is the mood of a devotee, that they don't really think about themselves first. They're just always thinking about how to help others, how to preach the glories of Krishna, and how to always be engaged in the service of the Lord. So these are very, very wonderful examples Srila Prabhupada has given in the purport. So all these qualities that we hear of these advanced souls are readily available as one practices bhakti. It's not that the natural question always arises, oh, but these are pure devotees, this is Prahlad Maharaj and it's Ambarish Maharaj, they're very, very exalted persons. But they were just sincerely following the process of bhakti with attention. As Prabhupada mentions in the previous purport, that
if we put specific attention to hearing and chanting and performing our service, then within no time we will be freed from the clutches of illusion. If we pay attention to this hearing process, because it is through the sound vibration that we get to associate with Krishna. And when we associate with Krishna so much, our lower tendencies are cut at the root, and our higher nature, the nature and the qualities of the soul, become more permeated in our existence. And in that way, we're able to solidly always carry out the nine processes of bhakti very carefully and very regularly. All these things have to be done with care and attention, and the desired result will be achieved. To the degree that we follow strictly and carefully, and we adhere to the guidelines of the wonderful pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, to that degree we'll realize Krishna and our relationship with Him. So the stress here, Prabhupada mentioned at the last line of the purport, that we have a family bond with Lord Krishna. There's a relationship that the living entity has with Krishna, and this relationship can grow to such a point that it will be undeterred under any circumstance. It cannot be disturbed, even if one is put into difficulty, even if one has been wronged. This relationship does not shake or quiver, because it is solid. And the devotee doesn't see it as an impediment. The devotee sees it as another opportunity to just take shelter of Krishna. So if we read carefully and take shelter of these guidelines of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand what we're being taught here, how to completely cleanse the heart by practicing the process of bhakti yoga, paying attention to our hearing and chanting, being careful to hear regularly. And in that way, the heart becomes cleansed. We lose all our lower qualities, lust, anger, greed, envy. We lose all these qualities. We become selfless, and we start thinking about the welfare of other living entities. We start trying to give them Krishna, and that way we slowly purchase Krishna. And Krishna will always want to give blessings and benedictions. And naturally, because of the qualities we will have developed, we will not ask for any benediction from Krishna, but Krishna will give anyway. Krishna always solidly maintains His devotee. And by doing that, we purchase Krishna, because Krishna will give His heart. That is what He says. Krishna says, "I will give you my heart." In the pastime with Kola Vecha Sridhar, Krishna explains that, you know, the devotee knows nothing but me, I know nothing but my devotee. I reside in the hearts of my devotee, and my devotee resides in my heart. So at the end of the day, Krishna gives His heart, Krishna gives Himself. And that is the success we will achieve by following this process. So I'll stop there and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions. Yes, Jai Jagannath Prabhu. Oh, originally we were all in the spiritual world. How could we give up Krishna? Yeah, well, we haven't given up Krishna. We've just decided to be a little bit impersonal. We can't really give up. Whether we give Krishna up or not, we're still in His domain. He's still maintaining us in the material world. This material world is a playpen created for our desires. And Krishna is still with us as the Super Soul in the heart, as the Bhagavatam, the holy name, the holy Dham, the assembled Vaishnavas. So we didn't really decide to give up the lotus feet of Krishna. We just wanted to walk in Krishna's shoes for some time. And that requires that we become a bit impersonal. It requires that we turn our back on Krishna temporarily. So the pure devotee, of course, we can never
not be under the shelter of Krishna. Directly or indirectly, we're always at the shelter of Krishna. Directly, we take shelter of his divine internal pleasure potency, which sustains the spiritual world, whether it is the eternal realm or the spiritual world that Srila Prabhupada has recreated. Or we choose to take shelter of Krishna's external energy and take shelter of Durgadam, take shelter of the material existence, the material energy. So directly, indirectly, we're still at Krishna's lotus feet. But particularly the pure devotee, whether they're in this material world or they're in the spiritual world, they never forget Krishna. Although externally it may seem like they're not with Krishna, but they never forget Krishna. Specifically the examples given in this purport. Jesus Christ, Lord Nityananda, Prahlad Maharaj, they were always thinking of Krishna. So even if we take both examples, Prahlad Maharaj offering prayers for his father's protection, for the living entities of Kali Yuga to be delivered, Jesus Christ himself, while being crucified, praying to the Lord that you must please forgive these persons because they do not understand what they are actually doing. Please forgive them. Lord Nityananda Prabhu himself using his hand to shield off Lord Chaitanya from releasing Sudarshan Chakra towards his offenders. So the devotees themselves, they're always thinking, no, 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 my dear Lord. They're always taking shelter of Krishna, and that is their sustenance. So we haven't really forgotten Krishna. We're covered by the material energy. We can't see properly. Yes, yes.
It was mentioned that whoever curses others will get reactions through his previous forefathers.
Ancestors, yep.
And his children and grandchildren. And it was mentioned that Krishna purposely chose Sringi as instrument, because as a child he will be forgiven. But still, that cursing was very significant because by that cursing, the Kali Yuga start and the Brahmanas get degraded. So the consequences were vast. With every cursing we do to others, that means we are not accepting that Krishna is giving us our karma, not their karma. You know, that we have to accept what is our karma. If we don't accept, we get entangled and we don't endure it, you know, then we make our new karma, you know, because we react. What would have happened if Maharaj Parikshit cursed him in the river? No, he accepted it. That's Krishna's will. I'm accepting it. I'm enduring it. So this is the way we need to accept our karma and stop seeing others as our enemies. They're maybe instruments of our karma, but it's our karma, our responsibility.
Yep.
So there are a lot of consequences when we curse others.
The principle, hopefully, is that we don't curse anyone. Whether we've been wronged or not, the point I'm making here is that, and specifically the verse I quoted from the fifth canto by Prahlad Maharaj, that if we very nicely and attentively practice bhakti yoga properly, these lower propensities of wanting revenge, cursing, being envious, being proud, having, you know, greed, malice, all these tendencies will not exist in our personality. We will always be thinking about the welfare of other living entities. It will not be possible to have such degraded qualities, as the verse was saying, because the Lord will sit in the lotus, in the heart of the living entity. So we will not have these degraded qualities. However, whatever happens in our life, we always take shelter of Krishna because we understand whether, be it good or bad, Krishna is there. Krishna is my shelter. And I will go through everything with that firm understanding. Hence the six items of surrender that I quoted, that having
the strong conviction in accepting Krishna as my master and my guardian, we go through life. Not saying that now I've become a devotee, everything has to be good, nothing should happen to me. And if something happens, Krishna, there's something wrong. No, that we go through everything having that firm faith in Krishna and that conviction that he's my supreme master, I'm at his lotus feet, he is giving me shelter. And this was the mood of Maharaj Parikshit. He was a pure devotee of the Lord. There was no need. He could have counter-cursed easy, but there's no need because he knows that the Lord is always protecting me. Under any circumstance, the Lord protects. This is why we're encouraged very much to read Srimad Bhagavatam so that we get so many examples. We see how Krishna fulfills his promises. He says, I will always maintain you. I'll always take care of you. By reading Bhagavatam, we get to understand in his relationships, Krishna does it. In his relationship, what happened with Ambarish and Durvasa Muni, Krishna maintained his devotee. No, this was the same Durvasa Muni who gave a powerful benediction to Srimati Radharani about her cooking. So it wasn't an ordinary person, a very powerful sage. But at the same time, the devotee of the Lord is very dear to Krishna. That when Durvasa Muni went to Lord Shiva, he went to Lord Brahma, he went to Vishnu and he said, can you please help me? And he said, I am sorry, but my devotee is very powerful. You have to go to him. And a devotee always forgives. The greatest quality of a brahmana is forgiveness. That a devotee doesn't harbor anything in the heart. A devotee always forgives. But all of these will manifest. All these qualities manifest as we sincerely and with great care and attention study the pages of the Bhagavatam, because this is Krishna's sound incarnation, purifying the heart and the consciousness. See, you know, that's the fact. But sometimes we think we might think, well, how do you do this? We might hope for a different answer, but the answer will always be the same. Just take shelter of Krishna's instruction. Krishna is the purifier. Ishopanishad explains, Krishna is the purifier. He never gets contaminated. He purifies whatever he comes into contact with. If we bring ourselves in front of Krishna, we are contaminated. Krishna will purify us. So the more we bring ourselves into contact with Krishna, the more we get purified. The more we become selfless and think about the well-being of other living entities. Not just human beings, but all living entities. Hence, Prabhupada, in the last purport, says, the process of devotional service, bhakti yoga, it is the only way to actually get rid of the... How does it say? I don't want to speculate. It is the only method of cleansing the heart for good. Cleansing it for good. Other gymnastics, speculation, may temporarily do it, but bhakti yoga cleanses the heart for good. Thank you for your comment, Rasa. Thank you. Go off over.
Thank you. Very wonderful class, Rani. The point that stood out for me was that purity of heart means working towards the welfare of others through humble service. Wonderful point. Thank you.
It's Prahlad Maharaj, it wasn't me.
So you were telling about what Nityananda, Prabhupada Jayakaswami Maharaj told his pastime that when he was hit and it started bleeding, and Lord Nityananda told him, Jaya, you hit me and made me bleed. Does that mean that you're disqualified and I'm not to the love of God? So that was like really moving. Lord Nityananda telling him, do you think this will disqualify you from me giving you love of God?
Wonderful point. Yeah. And you see it when you give Krishna to others, sometimes the reception is painful. But we still continue. Sometimes we get called names. We're doing a wonderful harinam, or someone just comes up and punches you in the face. Or the woman get mistreated, whatever. We still continue. So for us, we have this understanding that we've been saved by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada created our good fortune. And the best way we can try to repay even in Kali Yuga, where it's an ocean of faults and it's an ocean of, you know, bad qualities, still we just go out and try to give Krishna in whatever capacity, in whatever way or form. Jai Jagannath Prabhu. Okay, when someone physically attacks us, we should try to protect ourselves. So I'm not saying this whole class, it wasn't that we just tolerate everything, and if anyone comes, you know, we just take shelter of Krishna, they just hit us, we turn our cheek and they slap us. We have to be intelligent at the same time. This is more geared towards our personal relationship with Krishna, how we treat Krishna, and how Krishna is using our karma to purify us, how we should react with Krishna. Krishna, as Rasa was saying, he will use different agents for our purification. He will give us opportunities to get rid of some bad qualities or some negative blockage in our bhakti. But we understand that the way to go forward is to always hang on to his lotus feet. And of course, the Vaishnavas. So if someone physically attacks us, we're not going to stand there and say, okay, punch me right there, like, you know, just stab me over here. We have to use our intelligence. The body is a temple of the Lord. We're using this human form to make spiritual advancement and to preach the glories of Krishna. So we have to take care of it. So if someone tries to attack us, of course, we back away. We don't go out and try to attack people, but when they do come, we have to protect ourselves. That's why it's always good that we're never by ourselves, wherever we go. Atul Krishna Prabhu was telling us the other day that when he was a young devotee, they would always go out in pairs, never by themselves, because you don't know what can happen. I was watching a documentary the other day, just trying to see what people still think of Hare Krishnas. It was about the top 10 cults in the world. And we were like number four. We're kind of like fading away because people are taking us more seriously. But it was customary back in the early years of ISKCON that people thought we were strange and they would get very physical with devotees. And devotees had to protect themselves, especially they had to protect the ladies if they were in public. So intelligence, our buddhi yoga should come into play, that we protect Krishna's body. We protect this body that we're using for Krishna's service. So if you get attacked, you know, make sure you're with someone. Go to the police station, report it. You have to do these things. Kali Yuga is not a safe place, unfortunately. Ivan.
So I think there's a tendency to actually, once there's a great personality who appears on the earth, and there's a tendency kind of to label them as a lord.
When Prabhupada uses them, all these titles, Lord or Srimad, you know, it's a title of respect. Like in the pages of Bhagavatam, we'll hear about Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Lord Indra. These are, you know, respectful ways of addressing powerful personalities. Not that we think that they're God or anything. We understand their position, but out of respect, we address them with titles. Just as the Prime Minister or the President is like His Honorable, His Excellency. Not that they're, you know, larger than life, but it is out of respect. Like sometimes Lord Brahma is addressed as Bhagavan in relation to Krishna. He has acquired the qualities, certain qualities and possessions like Krishna, by Krishna's blessing. So sometimes he's addressed as Bhagavan.
but it's always in relation to Krishna. But the mistake is never made as to who is the Supreme Brahman or who is Parabrahman. That mistake is never should never be made. But when these titles are given, it is to show respect. Okay, I'll end here. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Prabhupada Ki.